There is a sanctity of life that is held in highest regard, right? God is serious about life and not messing with the lives of others, and either by injuring or defrauding or ultimately through murder. Do you see that as we read this chapter this morning? God's serious about it. And he's not just serious like, if you kill someone, you'll die. He's kind of like, if you mess up their life, you have to pay for it. If you interfere with their health, you need to be involved in the restoration of that. And you need to make up even for lost time, right? And we see that. Do you only imagine that idea when you see the bus going down the street that's got the very memorable phone number and it's like dial, you know, 0800 lawyer or something? Because I understand that in the judicial system, sometimes this kind of reclamation of loss, we see that as opportunism. You know, oh, here they come. Yeah, lawyers. You know. But here's God saying, in fairness, don't mess with other people. If you're living your life, don't be sloppy. And if you are sloppy and it affects others, you're responsible for it. You know? It's pretty important. If he strikes a man so that he dies, he'll put to death. If he willfully attacks another, he'll die. If a kid strikes her mother or father, he'll be put to death. What would my town, Alva, look like? I wonder. Whoever curses his father and mother will be put to death. I don't understand as a parent, if that did happen in my house, how ready I would be to go, oh, that's it. You know? I think you'd be like, my goodness, if word ever got out, do you know what would happen to you? You must never do that. Right? And these days, we're like, whoa, you're going to go on the naughty list. That's all I got. If you don't do that, I'll tell you again. Yeah, you better not, or I'll call the number. Right? Says the kid to the parent these days. Yeah. Yeah. But God said, you know what? If you could possibly strike your mother, you're done. Come home. Cosmic timeout. Your life is over. And that doesn't happen anymore. I'm not sitting up here lobbying that we bring back the death penalty for cheating children. No, that's not what I'm doing. But it's important. Kidnapping. So how about that? Human trafficking. That gets my hackles up. I can't stand the stories of human trafficking. I just think, boy, did you catch somebody? What are you going to do to them? What's the penalty for that? Can you make sure they never do it again? Well, death penalty makes sure they never do it again, does it? I'm not here lobbying for the death penalty for that either. But I'm saying that in Scripture, God put it in place, actually. He shares our indignance in the face of the way our society currently runs. And back then, it did. And God put a stop to it. At the base of that mountain, he said, you're going to be my people are this way, not that way. Yeah? And so we could sit in the room, we could say, oh, if only the world would do what we said now, what we believe God wants, the world would be a better place. But not my grandchild. But no, now we're merciful people. We don't do this kind of stuff. But what we want to do is we want to just really, really talk them into it with our gentle inside voices, and then all of the children will be good. And the only reason that there aren't all good children now is because, who are we going to blame? Parents, right? Parents are why. Except who are parents? Parents are the kids who weren't taught that when they were kids, or choose not to. So, you know, John Firmage is receiving chemotherapy treatment, right? Chemotherapy is poison that kills cells that don't do what they're supposed to do, that are just doing whatever they want to there inside of his body, and it's causing him to be sick. And it's going to kill a person who doesn't have cancer dealt with. And so we say poison to stop cancer is a good thing, and make those cells that aren't doing what they're supposed to be gone now. Dead cells. Cancer cells. So medically, we embrace chemotherapy, but when we read chapter 21 of Exodus, we don't like chemotherapy. That's what I'm saying here this morning. Now, I don't think that I have a moral clarity for executing death penalty. That's my personal thing. God says in other places in Scripture, you ought to be able to tell the difference. You ought to be able to judge. Why are you handing your stuff over to other people to judge for you? He rebukes people who can't get it together as a society and deal with their problems. Right? Now, I think that has to do with court cases. I don't think it has to do with capital punishment. I think that I like a national, everybody in on it, deciding what we do as a nation. And I defer to the government that has power that God has put in place. And I'm glad that I'm not called upon to be an executioner or a judge who decides on something like that. So you could think what you think about me and my opinion and say, no, actually, if God says it, maybe it is good enough. That might be your opinion. I just say, you know what, because I don't know, and because this person, if they're convicted in court, let them make license plates forever. Let them dig ditches for the rest of time. And if they got convicted and everyone decided in a court of law they did do murder, and you could say, since it's decided you did do murder, we could kill you with the death penalty, I would say, are you sure something's not going to happen later on that proves that that isn't the person that did it? And this has happened historically in every society. And how do you fix that? You can't undo that. So that's just the opinion piece about the death penalty from your minister. And I don't think any of you maybe need to be persuaded about that, because here we are in the United Kingdom. It's the law is what it is. But we have a lot of problems because there is no line and there is no complete, that's it, you cross the line, now you're in for it. And I see hanging out on the street corners of our town some real rapscallions. And I stand with kids at the front gate of this church who I can't believe in my heart I have a disposition of, how will I not let these kids into the church tonight? How am I going to work it out to gently communicate with clarity that they cannot come in? Why? Because they'll spit on the floor when they're in here. Because they'll dump out their stuff while they're standing there. Because they're so far gone that God and justice and righteousness is not a thought to them. I pray for them. I go out to the gate and I talk to them. I share the truth of Jesus Christ with them. I would see them transform. But I don't bring them around to ruin the stuff in here. And there's a limit to this generosity and mercy that I'm feeling, particularly in the life of three people who have demonstrated with clarity and repeated opportunity that they're committed to do damage. And what would have happened in their life if at some point someone would have said, whoa, what did you just do? Never do that again. I suppose that there are people who they just swim upstream like salmon against all correction and training, and they're a grief to their parents, and that those people choose what they choose. There's going to be that. I don't think that that's what plagues our towns. I don't think that's what it is. I think that we don't spank anymore because that's like a dirty word. You're not allowed to do it. And the International Children's Rights says, even though Scripture says you remove foolishness from the heart of a child with stripes, no, you can't do that. Those are our kids now. We're the government. They're our future citizens. You're just taking care of them. If you mess up with them, you can pay for all their damages. But if you try to make them actually stay in line with what you believe and you go past a certain line, then we will deal with you. You may not exercise your parental rights over your children, but you will be held responsible for your children. And then when the cops bring the kids home and the parents can't control the kids, everybody in the room shrugs. I hear the story again and again. They shrug. I know about cops who bring kids home, and the kids come home, and the cops are sitting in the living room talking with the kids, and the kids walk right back out the door. And the cops go, hey, they just went out. And the parents go, what are we going to do? You want me to grab them? Hold them? You want me to spank them? I can't do that. And this is where we are. But here it is in Scripture that there's got to be a line drawn. And God says a kid that would hit their parent, a kid that would curse their parents, that's a line. And you have to, and I have to deal with how that makes me feel. About, well, I don't know. That seems a bit extreme. And God's saying, actually, I, holy, righteous, just, loving, kindness, merciful God, seeing everything, I still make a law like that. That's actually what I understand needs to happen. Wow. We have to answer for that.